Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Hi, Tony. We were just here yesterday. Are they trying to send us a message? This is twice in 1 week.
I don't know. Haven't done Jaguars Today from this studio since you were in London.
I don't know if I've ever done that.
I don't
show
think you have
in this studio.
Like I was here for that week while you and JP were over there in London for the game last
right
year. But that's the last time I was here for Jaguars Today, and here we are back because you recorded an interview with Pete for the pregame show yesterday, and as I was sitting there for the first time in that studio with my headphones off, I was like, is that water dripping?
You guys broke the studio,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, I was like, is that water dripping? I think
again
I heard, because they had a big issue last weekend, and they said it was from pressure washing the kitchen, and I was, as soon as you got done, I was like, Joe, and I was talking to Fortunato, I was like, just listen for a second, and all three of us were like, oh,
sounded like
no
some Colorado raging rapids,
yeah,
down.
Yeah.
So
it was like how cave formations are built, only it's in the ceiling. You don't want that kind of
they
thing.
They're doing some remodeling with the ceiling this fine weekend. So we came over to 9090 Hogan Road, and our guest, he's not a guest, he's family. He knows how to find this place. He knows how to find them both equally well. Tommy Mack is back with us. Tom McManus, how are you, buddy?
Good morning. How you doing?
Do the car still know how to get here?
You know, I came in the back door, too. Believe
did
it or not,
you?
I was downtown, so I came in through Parental Home and, you know, that
yeah,
back
yeah,
way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I had to kind of, you know, remember. I've been over here in a while.
Going on. Yeah, I make that Parental Home little drive from time to time,
yeah,
between studios. But, yeah. Hey, we're not going to dwell too much on New England, but want to get your take on what happened last week before we look ahead to Indy. First off, do you think Andrew Luck does play, or do you think it's as much ado about nothing that the you know, modern medicine, wink, wink, is a miracle, right?
Listen, he's going to have to probably take a shot, some pain medication. I don't know. That's a tough call, man. I hear you saying he's the franchise. I do know this. Look, Hasselbeck's going to get the ball, and he's going to score. You remember that from the Seattle? Yeah,
I do.
He did it. He threw the pick for the other way. So hopefully that happens for the Jags. But look, Hasselbeck's been around a while. I don't think anything's going to really rattle him.
Right.
Look, they're going to try to pound the football. And they're going to try to spread it around, and it's going to be up to the D to get it done. But gosh, if they do go up there and win, Mike, we forget about the thrashing.
It's
they
all
took
gone, away. Right? You're 2-2.
It's like it didn't even happen.
2-2 with a divisional road victory over the team that's the heavy favorite coming into the season, and then you've got winnable games, and you can't squander those either. You can't win this game and turn around and go to Tampa and lose that game.
Absolutely.
You got to start stacking it together, and it begins this weekend. And it really now, even if Andrew Luck does play, he's not going to practice all week. He's not going to throw. He's not the same guy we've seen. Doesn't mean he can't give a good performance.
Yep.
You're not going to take it for granted, but Tom, he's not playing for whether it's the injury or whether it's just the protection, whether it's Andrew Luck just being a little bit off this year. It's not the same guy.
If I'm on defense, I want him to play because blood's in the water. Sharks are in the
water.
There
you go.
You go knock that shoulder into oblivion and take him out of the game. I mean, that's what you do.
Sure.
You try to pound him and bring as much heat to him as possible, make him uncomfortable quick, and then you know, then you got a chance.
All right. Now, that's enough about looking ahead. We got to look back for a
Let's
few minutes
back
here. What was your initial reaction as things went down, as the game concluded last week?
You know, listen, I was obviously very disappointed. But, look, I thought first half they were hanging in there. It's funny. I was sitting around the TV. I got my in-laws there. I got my mom there. I got my family there. And everyone's like, oh, gosh, here we go again. I'm like, no. Just hang on. They're hanging in there. It's not too bad. You know, it's early. Let's see what happens. And obviously the pick right before halftime seemed to change everything. And to me, that just can't happen. I don't care if you're playing New England up there. I don't care who you're playing. Look, you throw a pick. Okay, look, you're giving the ball back to Tom Brady. I get it. Well, let's be aggressive, man. Get after his ass. You know, look, you can't let any quarterback just stand there and deliver the ball, especially in that system. You know, you look at Green Bay, you look at New England. Their system is predicated on what? Look, we're gonna take what you give us, and then we'll take our shots when you think you're pressing us, and you got no help in the center field and whatnot. But you got to come from inside. You got to get in Brady's face. You got to get him to move a little bit, disrupt the timing a little bit, and it's like we panicked. You know, we panicked on defense. We panicked on offense. We got out of our whole thing. You know, I don't know if that's Blake just, you know, look, I threw a pick. I can't be as aggressive. But, look, the job of the coaches is to make sure that doesn't happen. I don't care that you're up in New England and that big traumatic event. Even when they go down and score, you still have to man up and go play the game. And And I think the coaches weren't on cue. Obviously, the players weren't on cue. But I don't know, man. That was just very disappointing. Now, the other side of that, Demps, is I've been in games where it's like the domino effect. You just can't catch a break. You can't stop them. You can't explain it. You know, your quarterback goes back, he fumbles, or, you know, they pick up the ball and score, and next thing you know, they score 21 points in like 2 minutes.
How did that happen?
How in the heck did that even happen? So I think a little bit of that. But look, at the end of the day, they're 1-2. I think a lot, I think this game against Indy is going to tell us a lot about where this team is at and where it's headed. And if they don't go up there and at least be a close game where they have a chance to win it, even if they lose, then we have big problems here. Because the team's quote-unquote built. It's time to produce. This is a results league. By the way, kudos, and you've always been this way, but I love the honest opinion that you're bringing to the table. And it can't be easy when you're down there at the stadium doing the show. But you know what? That's what everybody needs to hear. Enough of the sugarcoating. Enough of the process. Enough of the excuses. Just win. Just win and give this city something to be really proud about. And you're going to have the time of your life doing it. So go up there and win this freaking football game.
Let me ask you, as a player, I'm sure you've been on the bad end of some of those losses throughout your football career, right? How easy is it to put that out of your mind? And everyone says, we just got to move on. But is there a hangover emotionally or what when you're preparing for your next opponent?
Well, flip it around. If it's the other way, if you had a humongous win,
right?
How does that affect you next week? Well, again,
you tell me.
It comes down to the philosophy and the culture that your head coach has instilled in that locker room and the leaders in the team in the locker room. How do you handle victory? How do you handle defeat? Well, to me, look, you handle it Monday. Tuesday's your day off. Come Wednesday,
it's over.
It's over.
Gotta be.
Now you gotta learn from it. And it's not easy. I've sat in many film sessions where I got ripped. You know what I mean? And you're just like, oh, I want to fight you so bad. But you know what I always did? I'd go back in by myself and really critique myself and understand what I did wrong. You know, look, if you're just getting your butt kicked physically, then we got to look at the players.
Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, and Tom McManus here with you. Tony, what about you on Andrew Luck this week? What's your gut tell you about his availability on Sunday?
I think it's very similar to Drew Brees last week, where a quarterback like that, who is the franchise, if he's not going to be able to practice all week because he's got a throwing shoulder problem, odds are he's probably not going to play that weekend. Now, he's got an opportunity to practice today, so we'll see what happens up there in Indianapolis today. But if he doesn't practice today, I know he's going to be listed as questionable in all likelihood. My guess would be that he's not going to play this weekend. And I agree with you, Mike. If he doesn't play, you better be able to beat Matt.
You have to win. You have to win that game.
I agree with that.
You know, I mean, look, Tom, what's special about their team? They've got some, T.Y. Hilton's a good player. Yep. Moncrief's a good player. They have some good skill guys. I think the Jags have some good skill guys as well, or young guys, maybe not as proven, but that's fine. Their offensive line, I think the Jags offensive line is better. I know you don't match up offensive line versus offensive line, but, I think you can run on Indy. I think Vontae Davis is a very good player in the secondary, maybe better than anybody that the Jags have back there. But other than a handful of positions, I don't think they have clear cut advantages across the board.
No, and let's just hope Mathis doesn't like go nuts this
weekend.
Well,
that's true. He's just building his way up to it, slowly but surely.
He is. No, I agree with you on all those fronts. I think the difference is, I think this is part of the issue with the Jags on offense. Look, they're trying to run that power run game with play action pass and throwing the ball, you know, down the field off of play action, right? They're not the dink and dunkers like the Bradys of the world and the Rodgers, et cetera, et cetera. So in order to run that offense, you need a consistent deep threat. You need someone to scare the safety. And we don't have that. Now, you can give me Marquise Lee. I'm going to say, you know what?
Until he shows
whatever.
He can be out there
every
week.
He hasn't done anything.
Which, let me give you a quick update. Yep. I was walking in this morning before I checked out the remodeling down at the studio. And I was walking through the gate, and Marquise was walking out for whatever reason, maybe going to his car. So I held the gate for him. And as I held it, you know, to be polite, kind of jogged through the gate. So there's your breaking update. Marquise Lee is capable of jogging today and did not seem to suffer any setbacks during
that few minutes. Let's hope so. But he's still got a lot to prove as far as that. Because you look at T.Y. Hilton. He's a big play machine, right?
No doubt.
He can be. And you got to have that. And to me, if we had that, now look, Blackman should be it, but he's not. So throw him out of the picture as well. But if you had that clear-cut guy at number one, I think Robinson's a phenomenal number two. Hearn's a phenomenal number three, a 6 foot three guy that can run in the slot, you know, that can put some pressure.
Double moves.
I mean,
all those,
you know, and then you throw in Thomas when he gets healthy, you know.
Now you're talking.
Now you're talking, right? Because even with Thomas back, who are they going to double? They're going to double him.
Of course.
Are they worried about the other two beating him? Not really. Have they been worried so far? Not really. I mean, what scares you about this Jaguar offense if you're playing them on defense?
I think right now,
nothing.
The scariest thing on a relative scale is Allen Robinson, because he has the ability, not consistently yet, but he has the ability to win contested balls. He's big. He's got a good vertical leap. You know, so he
which
can.
Which is a great number two.
Which is fine. Which is but if you're looking at right now, what do you have? What's the scariest thing? He probably is the scariest thing right now, because they really haven't gotten TJ Yeldon running at full steam. I think that's something they really need to focus on getting done this week as well, to have some good balance. Yeah. All right, let's take a time out. If you'd like to get in today, Meatheads here at Meathead55 on Twitter, as we do every Friday with you. We ask you for your keys to victory for the Jacksonville Jaguars. What are they as they go up against the Indianapolis Colts this Sunday at 1 o'clock? At Indy, as you can tweet us at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, and of course at Meathead55 for Tom McManus. The Jaguars Today Facebook page open for your comments as well. 641-1010 is the phone number if you want to ask Tommy Mack a question about Jaguar football or challenge us on anything we have to say. You're certainly welcome to do that as well. And that's the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line number as well. It's 641-1010. Coming up a little bit later on, we'll hear from Gus Bradley. Tom McManus in studio here with us. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony on a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. All right, Jaguars Today on a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. Glad you're along with us, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony. Tom McManus back at the 1010XL Kitchen Post here. Claude Nolan brings you the show every Friday since 1905. Claude Nolan serving as the preferred Cadillac dealer in Northeast Florida. Visit them at ClaudeNolan.com or stop by, even better yet, at 4700 Southside Boulevard. Tell them Mike Dempsey sent you. They're going to take phenomenal care of you at Claude Nolan Cadillac. Call 642-5111 for more information. The elegance and experience of driving a Cadillac one step away. You can build your lasting relationship by logging on to ClaudeNolan.com, our Friday sponsor of Jaguars Today over at 9090 Hogan Road. A little remodeling going on down at the radio studios. I hope, Tony, they're the situation will be copacetic for Sunday. Could we use that studio whether we're home or away? We're there for about 9 hours on game day. Sound about right?
Thereabouts.
Wow. Thereabouts. About 9 hours on game day. It's a, you know.
Probably 10.
I'll bring a spare pair of shoes.
Probably 10 when everything's said and done.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Hey, we look forward to doing it, and look forward to hopefully talking about a Jags victory with you on the call-in show after the post game. So let's hope that's the case. Yes, Tommy Mack.
I'm just you know, every time I come on a show, my Twitter goes nuts, right? So I remember last night, I'm watching the game before the game, and you're gonna laugh your butt off. So I tweeted, no dog in the fight, but I hope Vic lights it up. Looking forward to watching the violence on the field. And I just meant that, like, I forgot about the dogs.
No dog in a fight, right?
And all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, I see where you went there. Oh, that was a good one. I'm like, wait. I wasn't. That's why I'm Meathead 55, all right? I wasn't even thinking about the dogs.
I
really
watched that commercial last night. You know the one with Brandon Marshall? Yeah. Where they went around, they said, hey, just talk about a guy who was important to your career, right? He talks about Rod Smith. And he really kind of gets emotional at the end. He goes, like, that a little too strong for you? Like, you didn't expect me to really open up that much. And I love that spot. So I tweeted out, man, I really like that commercial every time I see it. And somebody responds, yeah, except for his history of domestic abuse. And it's like, you know, look, Brandon Marshall has had issues. Yeah. Brandon Marshall's dealt with them publicly and better than a lot of people. And I'm not trying to make this all about him, but it's just funny.
I know. It's easy to throw stones.
Yeah, I mean, look, I've thrown my share.
Not easy to catch them.
No.
But it's easy
they
to
hit
throw.
Me in the face. I catch them with the face usually. All right, 641-1010 is the number if you'd like to get on board. Tom McManus is here with us. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, talking Jaguar football with you. Let's get to Desmond to kick things off today at 641-1010. Good morning, Desmond.
Good morning. How are y'all?
Great. What's up?
I have a question, and I want to make a statement. For Blake Bortles, you know, Blake Bortles, looking at the stats, he's 0-7 on the road. But my question is, how can you talk to Brick Boys, calm him down. After he threw an interception, because you know he threw an interception, he tried to play like mistake free, like he don't have no other mistakes besides staying aggressive and keep doing what you're doing, even though you have to know that you're gonna make mistakes. But don't try to change up nothing. So how would you calm him down and tell him to keep doing what you're doing without him folding under pressure? And I'll take the comments off there.
All right, thank you, Desmond. What do you think, Tommy?
Well, listen, I think it's based on your relationship with the young QB. You know, to me, if I'm the coordinator and or head coach, I'm making sure I go visit with Blake almost every series, you know, and really be like, hey, keep it going. You know, hey, you know, look, he throws a pick. Get in his ear and be like, listen, don't let that one affect you. We're going to stay aggressive. I would tell my coordinator, stay aggressive. Don't get your panties in a wad, go in a hole. Let's stay aggressive because that's when the kid performs his best. So it is part play calling, right? And it is part psychology. He's a young dude, man. I'm a big believer in communication and relationships, right? And if that player, I don't care if it's a QB or who, if that player knows that you care about him and you want him to do well and you're there to watch him succeed, he's going to do whatever it takes to do it for you. I mean, that's the kind of relationship you have to have.
Look, I think they have a good relationship between the coaching staff and Blake, from what I can tell from our vantage point. Sure. However, I think, you know, last year's experience with pick sixes may have scarred him a little bit. Nothing he can't overcome, but you have the one against Carolina, right? And then the offense shut down, really, the rest of the game.
Agreed.
The one thing I'll say about this game, this was a crippler in the sense that, you know, it's 13-3. You're driving maybe to make it a 3-point ball game going into the half, and you're feeling pretty good about yourself. Mm-hmm. We weathered the storm, and they go down instead. It's 20-3 at the half. But the Jags, look, the game was out of hand, and the points were a little cosmetic, but they did put up a couple of touchdowns in the second half, which is much more second half production than they had. So I don't know. Did they get conservative? Did you feel like Blake got conservative at that point?
I don't know. I think it speaks to an issue with a really young team and a guy like Blake Bortles that hasn't ever had a whole lot of success after having that big moment go bad.
Yep.
Right? And I think a lot of times there is that learning experience of being a young player and watching that moment, that really horrific moment happen, and then finding a way to still win that game despite that kind of thing, finding a way to bounce back. He hasn't done that a lot. And there's a lot of young guys on this team that haven't had a lot of experience with that, and that goes back to, you know, putting that many young players on the field at the same time with not a whole lot of veterans to go to them on the sideline and say, look, it's fine. You're going to be okay. Let's put that behind us and keep going forward. There's not a ton of that on the team. Now, Blake should have it in Chad Henne. Like, Chad Henne should be able to do that for Blake Bortles on the sideline from time to time. But I think it's a matter of having some kind of repeatable success for a guy like Blake Bortles, where even in the moments where it gets bad, it does turn for him in even those games. I don't think he's had that yet.
6-4-1-10-10. We got Lester up next with a question for you, Tommy. Hi, Lester. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm doing great. I got a statement real quick, and then I got a question. Tom, it's great to hear you on the radio, man. You're awesome.
Hey, you tell it like it is, brother. Thank you, my friend. Thank you.
I enjoyed back in the day when you was on the radio, and you and Jeff Loggeman were one of the first ones to call Gabbert out that he just good on the practice field, but a wuss when he threw the ball.
Mm-hmm. I still believe it.
Oh, yeah, man. My question is T.J. Yeldon, it seems like, you know, we run him up the trench, you know, right off the center so much, and he's such a good cutback runner. You know, I don't know why they don't pull a tackle, you know, to block downfield and get him outside more, because he cuts so well, which can't be coached. That's talent. What do you think about that? I'll take it off the air.
All right. Hey, thank you so much. Thanks for the kind words, too. Yeah, listen, I don't understand the runs up the gut. It's almost – I don't understand when Gearhart was in there, you try to run him outside. That's not his game. Sure, you still have to pound it on occasion, but I agree. Let's get him off tackle a little bit more, a little bit outside. I like Yeldon a lot. He's smooth. He looks a lot like Le'Veon Bell, the way he runs. You know, look, you can bend it out a little bit, right, on that handoff. So the handoff's not straight to the line, and he doesn't have a chance to decide which way he wants to go. He's just got to pound it up in there, belly him out a little bit, and give him a chance to either go front side up the middle or backside. So hopefully they're doing those kind of things. Give him the vision that he needs to see in order to make things happen.
It appears he hasn't had a lot of room running up the middle. From your vantage point, it's tough to always see on the TV angle. Is he missing some cuts, or is it really he's getting hit too much in the backfield and he's got to overcome too much to even get back to the line of scrimmage?
Well, listen, I think it's fair to say on some occasions he dances a little bit for a split second that he shouldn't dance. And I don't mean dance, but, you know, it's not that one cut, bam, I'm hitting the hole. He does that a little bit. But, look, guys, I don't want – you know, look, I'm going to – I always call it like I said. I don't think Beatles is very good. I don't think their left guard's very good. I see him get beat quite often.
Didn't play well this week.
I think every week you see him either get bull rushed back. He misses. The thing that surprises me about him is he whiffs. He whiffs on run blocks from time to time, and you just can't have that. I mean, your center and guard combination, they have to be stout against the run first and foremost. They got to be bulldozers that can move people out of the way and create some space. And I don't think T.J. Yeldon or any of the running backs are getting that on a consistent basis. So, get some counters going. Look, I know as a linebacker, when you take that false step because they're hopping, right, and then that tackle comes down on you, that's a hard block to get around. You're not going through it, right, because he's got the angle. The only way around it is going around it. If you go underneath, he seals you down. If you go over the top, it creates vertical space for that back. So to me, yeah, those are tough. You got the counter play. You got a good guard. Linder's a beast. I like him. Let him pull around and knock the crap out of the end man of line of scrimmage. Have your tight end, Mercedes Lewis, have the tackle and the guard all mowing it down, and then come and give him a chance to get outside and make things happen.
I know what you're talking about, too, with the Le'Veon Bell comparison. People are probably hearing that and say, wait a minute. Come on, Le'Veon Bell. But it's the style of runner. Le'Veon Bell is so patient. You watch him last night. It's not helter-skelter, hit the hole at a million miles per hour. He will almost stop. Yep. And stand there and allow the play to develop and allow his blockers to get out on guys. And then when it's time to go, he goes. And all of a sudden, he goes from 0 to 60 like that.
Well, people don't realize there's timing in the run game. There's a lot of timing in the run game between the back and the offensive lineman. So that we always, you know, we tend to forget that. You know, we know there's timing in the passing game. But you forget there is timing in that run game. And you just talked about it. For those blocks to happen. You know, it's not just the back picking a hole and boom, it's wide open. No, it's you got to help that lineman. That lineman's got to help you. It's all a timing thing. And once you get on the same page, then you'll see some big gains, I think.
6-4-1-10-10. Let's go to Garrett next up here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Garrett.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up?
Just a question for you, because I know they're not showing it on TV, and I didn't know if y'all saw it at the game. It seems like every great, you know, offense or quarterback now, you know, after they're done with their series, whether it's Brady or Manning or Rodgers, whoever, they're going back with the offense coordinator. They're looking at the previous plays. What are we doing that? Because they don't show that on TV. It always just seems that if it's Henny, maybe it's Henny and Bortles talking, but it doesn't seem like we don't really. It feels like there's no communication.
I can't say I've studied that. I mean, but that's the role of your coordinator. I mean, you got your quarterback coach.
Yeah.
I don't know who's in the box and who's. I think Olsen's down on the field, or maybe Nathaniel's up in the box.
Olsen is on the field.
Especially a young QB, man. You got to be in their ear constantly. And that caller's right, Jared. You look at. We'll just use Brady, right? It's not just him, but the minute he goes to the bench, there's McDaniels. There's the pad. There's let's. You know, and there's Tom talking to his guys. Hey, don't forget, do this. Hey, let's block, you know, that type of thing. So,
it's something I can't really comment on because we watch the TV broadcast. Even when they're at home, we're in the studio, down there, Tony and I. So we're kind of restricted to what they show. But look, there are occasions when, and this is a guy who's much accomplished, but there are occasions when Brady just goes and sits on the bench and doesn't go talk to anybody. And, you know, but. Obviously, he's a master of their offense, 15 years in it. You don't worry about him. He's going to handle it appropriately for the situation.
And for the record, listen, I think Blake overall is doing fine. You know, we don't like the pick sixes, obviously, and he doesn't either. But, man, he makes some incredible throws, too. He makes some incredible things happen. You know, the receivers haven't been, consistent catching the ball. That goes with the territory, but you got to factor that into the equation.
I mean, I can't tell you. I've studied every team, Tom, but it seems like he has more drops than the norm from his receivers.
Well, the thing that bothers me, when he puts it in the exact place he's supposed to and they drop it. You know, I can understand it's not in the perfect spot, but his ball placement's pretty damn good. I think the kid's got a lot of talent. I like to see him roll out a little bit more. Not every first down, but I like to see him out in the, you know, out in the misdirection world. That's very confusing. How about some crossing routes? You know, some. I mean, it's listen, when you're playing defense and you're trying to cover, I don't care if you're in man or zone, they cross in front of you, man. It's tough to figure out if you're in zone, where is he going?
Right, to not get picked, to chase,
right,
to get in, yeah,
right.
All those things. I hear you.
You confuse them in this.
You know, look, numbers don't tell the whole story, but Tony, what is he on pace for, Blake? Like 3,700, 27 touchdowns and 16 picks?
Yeah.
You take those numbers in a second.
All day long.
Right, at the beginning of the year, if you said, here's the numbers he will finish with, you'd be like, damn.
That's a tough kid. That's a big step
in the right direction.
I like him a lot. He's just got to get over. And I think, look, I think this is play calling too. You can't get your panties in a wad. I mean, you can't.
meaning what exactly?
You can't get tight, man. Okay. You can't, you know, I don't want to get too graphic, but you can't get tight. You got to stay loose. You know, there's a lot of football left to be played, man. You can't, look.
Don't worry about what might go wrong. Think about what you can do to impose your will on the other team.
Look, you're the QB. You date the hottest girl. You're the biggest star in the room. You get paid the most money, right? You're a big-time dude. Then play like it every single Sunday, because that's what we're expecting.
He's Tom McManus. You can get on board with us here at 641-1010. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, and Tommy Mack here with you talking Jaguar football here from Gus Bradley coming up a little bit later on. Fan feedback question of the day today, as it always is on a Friday. Give us your three keys to victory. It's brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships. You can tweet us at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, and at Meathead55. Jaguars Today rolls on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Injury is frustrating regardless of last year, this year, the year after. It doesn't matter. It's going to be frustrating regardless because you put in the work. But it's part of this. It's part of this sport. It's a very physical sport, but at the same time, when things happen, it's just adversity. It's how you respond from that.
That's Andre Branch, Jacksonville Jaguar defensive end, getting in some practice this week, and looks like he'll be back on a limited basis, Tom. And good for him, because he really must have hit the rehab hard. The prognosis was for a longer absence for Andre Branch. Look, he's had his flaws, no question about it, but I think he's an effort player, and I thought he was starting to come on a little bit last year. So I was intrigued to see in a contract year, you know how that plays out sometimes, what could he do, right, in his final year of his rookie deal?
Right.
And right now, look, they'll take any reinforcements they can get. Dante Fowler's not walking through the door this season. Derek Marks isn't ready yet. We'll take Andre Branch, even if it's for 20 snaps this week.
No, it's great that he's back. You know, look, I remember when they drafted him, I thought he was going to be honest, more productive than he's been, but he's been okay. He hasn't been bad. He hasn't been great. He's been okay. He's had some great moments, obviously, and he's had some poor moments, but he'll definitely bring a boost to the pass rush. Look, guys, they miss Marks a lot. I mean, we know that.
No question.
They miss that inside presence and on the pass rush especially, and breaking through the line of scrimmage. They don't have that right now.
Especially when you play a guy like Tom Brady. As you said, that they hate pressure at their feet.
Right.
Because they're so good at stepping up for those guys coming off the edge, they slide around the pocket. You come right at them, and it doesn't leave them anywhere to go.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny, but a lot of people don't understand. That's the quarterback and the tackle working together. So if I'm the tackle and you speed rush me, and I ride you down, right, and then eventually you get my QB, that's really on the QB. The QB's got to step up and make sure that doesn't happen and get the ball out or get out of dodge prior to that collapse totally happening. But when it comes up the middle, there's really nowhere for them to go. I mean, they really have to make a quick decision whether to hold on to the ball with a throw or try to get out of dodge and run, and that's when you can really have some success. But I think Branch coming back will be a boost. But they got to get pressure. I don't care who the quarterback is. You got to pressure the quarterback in the NFL if you want to stop the offensive attack.
By the way, on the Boston's Restaurant Sports Bar text line, this went in from the 904 area code about you, Tom.
Uh-oh.
Are you ready?
Sure.
All right. McManus needs to be a motivational speaker. I feel like dominating my lame-ass job after hearing him talk.
Good. Do it. You should, man.
I'm going to go run through a cubicle for you, Tommy.
Come on. Do it, man. Make another 1,500 calls today, all right?
Hey, Andre Branch, Tony, what quarterback he is chasing this weekend obviously is probably the biggest storyline right now facing this game between the Jags and the Colts, and one clue that it may be someone other than Andrew Luck just came down the line.
Yeah, the Indianapolis Colts have signed quarterback Josh Johnson off the street right now so that they could have basically a backup quarterback if Andrew Luck isn't able to go this week. So the questionable status for Andrew Luck is certainly a real thing up there in Indianapolis. It doesn't feel like smoke and mirrors right now with these guys if they're going to go sign a backup quarterback. Right. Indications are, at least right now, that it looks like Andrew Luck isn't going to play.
That's what it looks like. Yeah. At least they're preparing for that distinct possibility. As it was put, I think, by Adam Schefter, that he is legitimately questionable to play. This is not a tactic, not a game. You know, when you're limited, you're listed as questionable until the official injury report comes out. But it seems like it's really a coin flip at best for him.
Well, you know, coaches are crazy about those roster spots, right? So they're not going to bring in a guy, you know, to take away from another position or another player on that team that can help them. So that says a lot. Look, the best thing about Luck not playing is you don't have to worry about his mobility. You know, if you do get pressure on him, it's not like, you know, Hasselbeck's going to get out of the way.
Right.
You know what I mean? He's going to drop down. if he escapes, we got big problems. But that should be a good thing for the Jags.
All right, don't tell Duval Doom. Somebody said, woo, Tom McManus, favorite non-regular guest on Jaguars today.
Man.
See, nice. Doom's going to say, but I'm a host. I'm not a guest.
You know, it's funny. You get those, and then you get, you know, some jackass.
I'm not reading the other ones.
McManus can F off. I got that the other day.
Hey, you know what? Yeah. I get those, too, surprisingly enough. But
well,
about you?
Here's the question. You know, it's kind of similar to, like, a tree being falling down in the middle of the forest. Does it make a noise or not if nobody's around?
If I don't read the text out loud, it never happens.
That's right. That's right.
Let's go to the phone, 641-1010. Thomas, you're next up this morning on Jaguars Today. Good morning.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up?
Hey, I'm so glad to hear. I know it's for the day, but I'm so glad to hear Tommy Mac on the air. Two of my favorite hosts, you and him. I love his show. And actually, Tom, you and I talk a lot on Facebook, and I missed you at the last game when you were there with your daughter when you were there signing autographs. So hopefully I can catch up with you at the Texans game.
Yeah, absolutely. But, thanks, Tom.
Hey, no problem, man. My question for you guys is I was kind of thinking about this morning talking with a guy at work, and, you know, Tom, as a former player, would you much rather face I know he's really good, but the way he's been turning off, would you much rather see, you know, a slightly unhealthy Andrew Luck with a hurt shoulder, maybe throwing some bad throws, or would you rather see a veteran like Hasselbeck? Especially, I mean, it just sticks out to me the last time we faced Charlie Whitehurst and we thought that was going to be an easy win and he lit us up. So
should have been.
That was my question. I was hoping we would see an injured Andrew Luck with the way he's kind of been throwing the ball. It really scares me having Hasselbeck, especially with two guys like T.Y. and Dorsett, getting the ball in space with that zone we play, especially if Babich is, you know, having the corners play off again like he did against New England. But that was my question. I'll take you guys' answer off the air.
All right, thank you, Thomas. Yeah, well, it's a good point.
Great,
I mean, you've got a guy who's been around. Hasselbeck, like you said, is not going to be awed by the moment. He's played plenty of football.
Well, not only that, Mike, you don't got any film on him for how long?
True.
So you can't game plan him. I mean, really, you kind of can, but you're going to have to kind of wing it as the game goes on.
I think the one thing that Luck has got over Hasselbeck, even hurt, is he's so strong in the pocket.
Yeah.
He is so – Tom, I didn't see the Tennessee game because we're on the air doing the Jags, but watching Monday Night Football, the Jets at times had a circle around him with hands pawing all over him.
Right.
And he still stands in there strong. He gets rid of the ball, and he's got that great mobility, too. And that's the one thing you feel like if you can take advantage of the Colts' O-line, Hasselbeck is not as suited as Luck is even injured to deal with it.
Right, no doubt. I mean, first of all, I would always want to go against an injured QB because I'm going after the injury, right? It's like in a boxing or a MMA fight. You cut the guy. What are you aiming for?
You keep hitting the cut, Rock.
Absolutely. Remember you get that last time? But no, you do. We did this show. I forget who was hurt. I was like, it's a chicken wing, man. You go break that chicken wing and send him to the sidelines into the locker room for the rest of the game. So I'd rather have a injured Luck. The thing about, you know, Hasselbeck, you see it all the time. Guys come off the bench and light it up because you have no nothing to prepare you for them at that position.
I'm going to go into some pretty stupid waters here for a moment, but I did watch a lot of Colts football in the preseason, and I can tell you, when Matt Hasselbeck came in the game, that whole team hit the brakes.
Yeah.
I mean, just hit the brakes. Now, there's no game plan. There's no anything going on, but it's just the difference in talent between Luck and Hasselbeck at this point in their careers. When he was in the game, everything grinded to a stop for that Colts offense, and hopefully him playing this weekend is an indication that it's going to do that for four quarters.
All right, let's go back to the phone, 641-1010. In the case of some, it would be, what, plus 1-904-641-1010. I think that's how you dial it if you're calling from the UK. Christoph checking in from overseas. What's up, brother? How are you?
I'm very well. Yourself?
Doing fantastic. We know you love Tommy Mack. I knew you'd call in today.
Oh, yeah. He's funny as hell. I love this.
What's up? How you doing, Christoph?
I'm good. Yourself, Tommy?
I'm good, man. You make me want to go to a pub and drink a beer.
or six.
Or 20.
What's up, man? What can we do for you?
I was just wondering if you guys have heard about the whole New York Jets toilet paper situation.
Yeah.
And I was just wondering how important... is it for a team when they're doing a long trip, like, say, for instance, when Tommy played and he went up to Seattle and San Francisco and, like, the long West Coast trips, how important is it for a routine for players? And I'll take the answer off you.
Thank you, buddy.
What a great call. All the way from the UK.
Hey, oh, he loves it. We love him. He's a diehard Jag fan, part of that UK Jag contingent.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Listen, I think you try to make it as close to home as possible.
But what is the toilet paper situation? I really don't.
The Jets are bringing their own toilet paper.
Oh, they are? Okay.
Yeah. It feels
comfort
good.
To home. You see what Todd Bowles said?
I do. I love it.
That was fantastic.
Absolutely.
He's like, these guys make enough money. They can go sightsee Buckingham Palace on their own time.
It's a business trip.
Business trip.
Absolutely.
I mean,
I love it.
A little bit tongue in cheek, but I think he was serious, you know?
Most truths are said in jest.
What
right?
about that, though, the routine of going on the road?
Very, very important. Very important. I think that, you know, look, we're all creatures of habit. When we're at home, you know, you have a certain way that you prepare for the game. You know what to expect. You like crapping in your own toilet inside your own locker room instead of the visitor's room. You know what I mean? You get comfortable. So, yeah, but the key really is on the road is rest. Is rest. Is not, you know, going out for those 4 hours and seeing how many drinks you can throw down.
Right.
You know, at some kind of place. If you know what I mean.
Yes, I do.
You know, so you got to make sure that you get enough rest and that, you know, like Todd Bowles said, man, this is a business trip. So business as usual.
All right. And by the way, having been to London last year, I can attest the toilet paper's fine. I'd like a little more ice in my drink, but the toilet paper was not an issue. On the text line, Boston's Restaurant Sports Bar text line from the 404. I love you, McManus. You are, you truly breathe a breath of fresh air, brother. You are so original, so straightforward and honest. Never change, please. Never change. And he continued, you should be a coach. Have you ever thought about coaching? Defensive coordinator, you should be. Love you, brother. Stay real. I'm skipping all the other
ones. Awesome. No, give me some bad ones.
I'm kidding. Okay. There are no bad ones,
man.
I'm just kidding around.
If there are, we can meet outside.
That's
it's okay.
Right. He's been known to throw that gauntlet down before, ladies and gentlemen. He is
Tommy. I should be careful saying that. I didn't mean it.
It's a Claude Cadillac Friday. You hear that, Brad? All right. Moving along. I'm kidding, Tommy.
No, we're good friends.
I know. 641-1010 is the number if you want to get in. This state in football, the Honda drive around the NFL, coming up on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history brought to you this week by our friends Dr. McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. This date in football history is coming to you right now. 1932, Washington Redskins, playing as the Boston Braves, play their first NFL game. They lost 14-0. I'm going to guess it was to the Giants, Tony, although I was too lazy to look it up this morning. 1950, Bob Shaw established an NFL record with 5 touchdown catches as the Chicago Cardinals defeated the Baltimore Colts 55-13. The record was tied in 1981 by Kellen Winslow Sr., then again in 1990 by, you guessed it, Jerry Rice. Famous birthdays for this date. Happy 53rd to Mark Rypien, one of the, let's say, worst quarterbacks to have a Super Bowl trophy. That's one more Super Bowl trophy than a lot of great quarterbacks they'll have. I'm sure Mark Rypien doesn't really care all that much what you think about his playing ability, and just goes to show what Joe Gibbs is able to get done. Doug Williams, Joe Theismann, and Mark Rypien, all varying skill levels, won three Super Bowls with three different guys. That is rare indeed. This date in football history presented by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. Right here in Jacksonville on Gate Parkway, conveniently located. Call 620-9225. If you're in need of cosmetic work or maybe just in the market for a family dentist, Dr. McCall offers 10% off all first-time customer initial visits. Visit jamesjmccall.com to get a complete list of his comprehensive care services. That is this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
Yeah, Mark Rippon's nephew, Brett, is actually the starting quarterback right now for Boise State.
Is that right?
He's playing actually pretty darn well.
Smurf turf.
As well. Andrew Luck, as we've talked about quite a bit today, is expected to be listed as questionable on today's injury report for the Colts. They did sign quarterback Josh Johnson to potentially be the backup to Matt Hasselbeck. If he can't go, that being Luck, on Sunday. Philadelphia Eagles running back DeMarco Murray practiced yesterday, but it's still being called a game-time decision by the team for Sunday's game against Washington in a potential monsoon up in the nation's capital, or that game could get moved to Detroit. We're not sure where it's going to be played yet, but Antonio Brown's streak of 35 consecutive games with at least five catches and 50 yards, which probably really should have ended last year in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
The Steelers had not insanely lined him up in the backfield and thrown it to him late simply to keep that streak going. It came to an end last night. Brown caught five passes, but for only 42 yards. Notably, it was the first game since that streak began that Ben Roethlisberger was not his quarterback. So 35 straight with Ben. First time he's playing without Ben, bam, gone in an instant.
I mean, Vic throws like he's always thrown. In the case of that one, he didn't step into it on fourth down. He kind of throws with, you know, he sticks his chest out towards the ball instead of his
feet were
his
in bad
foot.
Position.
Right. He doesn't get his feet in the right spot, and he didn't get enough velocity on the ball. I thought, you know, look, he's not Mike Vick of old, but he's quicker than most quarterbacks still. He's still pretty elusive, and he's still got a strong arm. He's just, as he's always been, Tom, inaccurate, you know, not consistently accurate enough.
Well, and listen, it's tough coming off the bench and being accurate, but I agree. His arm, he still can flick it a mile, man.
No
doubt. You know, it's funny. You wonder, unless you're hurt, right, like maybe Peyton, you know, he's struggling with his velocity, but do you ever really lose your arm? I mean, if we went outside with Brunel, would he throw it so hard that he, you know, break your hands?
Right.
You know,
I don't know. You know, Bill Parcells said when Vinny Testaverde was like 40 or, you know, really up there, and he was on the Dallas Cowboys roster, he said, if you just watched warmups, you'd think he was the best quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah.
That Vinny Testaverde's arm was unbelievable, but he couldn't move.
Right.
You know, he was a statue, and that's what, you know, you lose your mobility, you lose your athleticism, but.
Yep.
I don't know. I mean, like you said, Peyton, it's obviously deteriorating rapidly.
Yeah.
Can't imagine this is not his last year,
it's
right?
Gotta
it's got to be his last
it's
year.
It's got to be. I mean, you can – I mean, he's still obviously very effective, but you could tell just by watching him it's just not the same.
Well, the good thing for him is he's surrounded by great skill position talent, and the defense is playing lights out. They have the best pass defense in the National Football League. Aqib Talib is a beast.
How did they get where when they already had Von Miller?
Right. I mean,
it's like not even fair.
Right. So they add Ware and to Von Miller, so they get after the quarterback. They've got some unheralded linebackers that are playing very well. I mean, very good defense. It's very similar to me, minus Terrell Davis. They don't have that kind of impact in the running game, but what John Elway had in the late 90s.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't an Elway-centric thing anymore, but he had Rod Smith. He had Ed McCaffrey. They could make big plays when he got on the ball.
Shannon Sharp,
absolutely. No question. You know, so he had Shannon Sharp and Terrell Davis. Maybe he even had better skill guys, but I think this defense might be even better than Denver's was when they were winning Super Bowls.
No, absolutely. They get after people, and they're fun to watch. I mean, they're a fun defense to watch. I love watching defenses that they're front four, you know, they're relentless, you know, like the Jets. I love their defensive line. I mean, those guys are animals, man. They're ready to crush you and rip your head off every single play. And look at Buffalo, same thing. You know, a great D-line. I love watching defenses like that.
By the way, you know how Tony knows that the quarterback of Boise State, you know, he knows that he does college fantasy football columns.
Do you really?
Realize for GridironNow.com.
No kidding.
Yeah, I'm writing college fantasy.
College fantasy.
Fantasy has taken over the world.
Wow.
Brother. It really is.
Jeez.
641-1010. Let's get some calls in. Tom McManus here with us this morning. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Jaguars today on a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. Let's go to George next up. Hi, George. How are you?
Hey, fine, thank you, Mike. How are you doing?
We're great. What's going on?
Yeah, what's going on is I think the Jaguars need to have maybe a psychology, somebody to check the other team. It's like whenever they go to the field, they are so predictable. I mean, they want to run the ball with Yeldon, and they run it the same way 3-4 times. I mean, like yesterday, you look at the Joe Flacco's play. They were running the game with Fossett, but then at one point, Flacco gave and staked it off, and he had all somebody open to throw to. We are predictable. They need to... Our players are excellent. They are good. Physically okay. The other team are not better than us. Bill Belichick wins because he knows the psychology of the other team. We don't have that, and somebody has to help us.
All right, George, thank you for the call. What do you make of that, Tommy?
Well, I think Belichick also knows the psychology of his own team.
And he also knows all the plays that are coming, too, from the other team, which is nice.
No, there's something to that. Look, I think what he's referring to is that whole run, pass, and then punt. And that we've seen that. It was like we were talking earlier. You know, against Miami, man, let's go. It was great first half. So exciting.
But is he talking about that, or is he saying, look, I don't mind. I got more that George didn't mind the play distribution, but that the kinds of runs, like they're calling the same kinds of runs, and then when it's time to run the ball, the other team says, hey, it's very limited. They're not going to surprise us with what they're doing.
Look, it's easier to stop the run when you have eight in the box, and when you don't have someone that scares you, you're going to have eight in the box. It's
so simple.
So
let me ask you this. What can the Jags do to loosen it up if they don't have that guy? And let's say Marquise Lee might ultimately be that guy. If he's not available to you, what do you do? Because they came out first play. They went deep unsuccessfully to Allen Robinson, but they're trying to take some shots down the field. So what do you do to loosen it up?
More of that. More of that. So
to take some shots.
Think about it. If you know that it could come, then you're going to be wary of it. Whether they completed that pass or not, you still went through your mind, okay, Robinson may go deep again. I got to be prepared for that, right? So to me, look, it's easier said than done, but it's not rocket science. The run sets up the pass. Sometimes you got to flip the script, man, and the pass will set up the run. Because if I'm look, I'm a linebacker. You're pounding the ball. You throw play action at me, I'm taking a step forward. Why? Because I think it's a run. Because you've had success, right?
Sure.
Now flip it around. If I think it's a pass and I go, you know, my first reaction is I got to get back into my coverage, and then you run a draw, you run a zone or whatever kind of running play, now I'm all screwed up. So there is, back to psychologic thinking, there is some of that. When that's why your coordinator's got to be these wizards. I got to keep them off balance, right? So I think, look, how do you get that? You're not going to get the safety to loosen up by keep running the ball, because if you have success, they're going to keep that safety in the box.
Sure.
If you run play action at them and get behind them, now they're going to be thinking, I can't creep up 7 yards from the line of scrimmage. I got to stay 11. I got to stay 12. And what does that do? That opens up that mid, you know, the 15 to 30 yard range from the line of scrimmage where your dig route used with a great running game or vice versa can open up an entire offense. Right in that dig route, that 15, 20 yard crossing route by the outside receiver. And if you could set that up, normally that play is open.
Why are they not getting the tight ends more involved? Hold that thought, Tony. What you got?
Not good news.
No.
For the Jags coming up this weekend, obviously they're finishing up practice right now. Sendarek Marks, Julius Thomas, Marquise Lee, Denard Robinson have been ruled out for the game. Add to that list Brandon Linder. Not going this weekend. So it'll be A.J. Cans, the guy who's been getting the first team reps in practice when he couldn't go this week. So it'll be the rookie third round pick, looks like, and Zane Beadle is your starting guards for Sunday.
Step up and play. You know, I mean, honestly, and I'm not, Brandon Linder's a very good player.
I
hesitate to say great player, but he may be turned into that, I think. I mean, he really is. But look, the Patriots are shuffling interior linemen and rookies. Go make some plays.
You know,
right?
Listen, Tony, you and I were talking about it off air. Your backups fill the voids, man. It's not, they're not crap players, and they shouldn't be. And if your backups don't fill the void, then you got the wrong backup. I mean, we've got so much cap space. There's no excuse for not having great backups. You know, guy goes down. I may not be able to fill the void all the way to the rim, but I better get close. You can't miss a beat when you're the backup. Don't give me they had backups in the secondary. I don't give a crap. You're a professional athlete. You're a professional football player. You're in the NFL. Your job is to make plays. And if you don't make them, then we have the wrong people there. To me, it's simple as that. Having backups in the game is no excuse for losing. None whatsoever. Your backup should be all, now I'm not talking star players, right? You're going to have your Dez's. You're going to have the big-time players. You're going to have your Aaron Rodgers. I understand that. But most of the guys in the NFL, they're worker bees, man. They're guards. They're fullbacks. They're middle linebackers. They're tight ends. You should be able to replace those guys with your backup without missing a beat almost every single time.
We'll get back to the tight end. Let's go back to the phones first. Joe Cabby up next here on 1010XL. What's up, Joe?
Good morning, I guess, to you guys. The decision-making of last week in that blowout, what I didn't like with the playing of Gerhardt, I didn't understand how there was a blowout. Why would they put him in the game?
To protect their star running back, T.J. Yeldon, most likely.
Yeah, I mean, look, Gerhardt's going to get a few touches regardless, right? I didn't think Toby took away from anything last week. That's... You know.
No, not at all. By the way, they also, Gus Bradley did say Nick Marshall will return punts this week, assuming there are any.
Okay.
It's the Indianapolis Colts.
Did he say that, or is that an error? I just felt the dagger
in my side. Oh.
But he may have been the guy that was supposed to return them last week, too, and we just never found out who was going to return punts against New England.
Right.
But he did say he's going to return punts this week.
Okay, so the silver lining and all that is you haven't seen much out of Lee anyway. And you haven't seen Marks, you haven't seen Thomas. So the real guy is only Linder.
And Denard.
I'd like to have him.
Yeah.
You know, and I'd like to see him
Denard,
get more
Denard, I really, you know, this guy's really worked so hard to turn himself into a better running back.
He's grown on me tremendously.
Yeah, he has. And look, we didn't expect him to be available this week. So, and we had a text in earlier, what's the update on Denard? There was no update. He wasn't practicing.
He didn't practice today, and then he's out.
Right, so he's out for this week.
But, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Can't you draft a can to be your guard?
Absolutely.
So I wouldn't expect a drop off.
And you felt, Tom, because they really like Sample there. They like Rashad Green there, too. Okay.
Yeah.
And Dave Caldwell said this. They started considering Green in the third round.
Right.
So, but the can was considered by many a top 40 prospect in this draft. And they felt it was, even though it wasn't a position necessarily of great need, that it was too good to pass up. So let's see that now, you know? And, he's going to get his opportunity, it looks like.
You mentioned Beatles earlier and that he's not playing very well. Well, now Cann's going to be on the field. He's not going to take Linder's job. Linder's been too good a player.
But he's going to get some live.
But he's going to get an opportunity to get first-team reps. Doubt. And if he shines, then maybe he does push Beatles, which he couldn't do in the preseason.
And listen, Beatles isn't awful. I don't mean it like that. But he gets beat a little bit too much for my liking. And I'd like, look, your guard should be massive. Massive.
This man a why, right?
Yeah, just like Linder.
Yeah.
Linder's a tough. Look, you got to take that guy on as a linebacker. That's a tough one to win.
As
you take on Beatles,
perspective,
you got a little bit better of a chance.
Yeah, and look, I actually like their depth on the interior. I think Shatley is a solid player. I think Polanco's a very versatile guy. So I don't think they're, you know, this, well, clearly Linder is the superior player maybe on the entire offensive line. I'm hopeful that Cann won't be the call. If they lose the game, it's not going to be because A.J. Cann.
To me, he
had to play.
The most impressive because he's the most physical, and he's the
He's a mountain of a man. I'll tell you
he's
that.
Big dude, and he's mean.
Yeah.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with being mean on the football field, man. And then be nice off it, until you know somebody gives you a hard time, and then you got to be mean again. But try to be nice.
Tom McMahon has sent all comments at Meathead 55. Actually, you can send them on the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line as well at 641-1010. We'll get more of your calls coming up. Also, hear some thoughts from Gus Bradley. Get Tommy Mack to weigh in on that. You're going to stick around to the bottom of the hour, right?
I am, and then I go back to work.
Then he's got
to
fly. He's
making business deals, baby.
He's on a brunch break now is what this is, and we didn't even feed him.
I put business deals together with apartments for my company, the Klotz Group, that I work for, and I love doing it.
Does the Klotz Group run through walls for you?
And I for them.
There
absolutely.
You go. It's simpatico. Claude Nolan Cadillac brings you Jaguars Today every Friday. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, Tom McManus here with you on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Reliability comes over consistency, you know, being able to count on him. So is he reliable right now that we can count on week in and week out? No, he hasn't proven that. But and that's what he's got to prove to us. And these little injuries that are coming up, although they're real, it's unfortunate. It's not something he wants, and it's happening. We just got to try to get over the hump on those things, and hopefully good things come his way.
Look, Gus Bradley's a very positive guy, right? And we talked about this with Jeff Logman, Tony, earlier this week.
Yeah.
What you hear from Gus publicly and what he's saying privately are not necessarily the same things, right? I mean, it's his way of going about things that he's not going to light his guys up very often. And as he, what was the line he had earlier this summer where he said needs to work on a few things or whatever.
It was talking about Stephen Morris.
Right.
He was like, he needs to improve. Yeah, he's solid.
He goes, and you know what that means when I say he's solid. He's not getting the job done. Because that's as critical as Gus will be publicly usually. But you could, I can sense a little frustration with Marquise Lee. He says, although they're real, you know, I granted he is hurt, but these little injuries we got to get past.
Yeah.
Wasn't able to get past him this week, and he's not active once again. Sergio Brown, by the way, you mentioned he's not out, but he's doubtful for the game.
Doubtful for the game. So in all likelihood, you're looking at Sample and Cyprian.
Rare is the guy who plays in the NFL when they're doubtful. I mean, practice, it's almost a guarantee that you're not going to play. From what you've seen of Sample, just a brief glimpse.
Yeah.
You think, I mean, is he more of a, Sergio Brown has been playing pretty well.
Yeah.
Right? Over the course of, by the end of the season, is he more of a threat to Jonathan Cyprian's job or to Sergio Brown's
job? I'm not really sold on Cyprian. I think he's an aggressive player. I think he's a good run stuffer, you know, but I don't know. I would almost think of maybe moving him up to a linebacker and let him play outside, you know, and have a guy with more range. Your safeties have got to defend the pass and make great tackles in the open field. That's first and foremost, not defending the run.
Guys, Colts practice is just starting, and a Colts beat writer just tweeted this out, Mike Chappell on Twitter, MikeChappell51. Andrew Luck is not out there with the other quarterbacks for the start of practice. So, good sign? Maybe a bad sign he's out?
Certainly, any sign where he's not participating in practice is one that he's probably not going to play this week, or a very good chance that he's not going to play.
That means he's in the training room getting treatment.
Right.
So,
and guess what, Tom? There are a lot of hours in the day you could be in the training room.
All day.
Right? So you can come out if it's something where you're constantly being worked on, then I mean, look, the indications are he's not going to throw all week. They signed a second quarterback or a third quarterback in Josh Johnson.
Well, they also might be, you know, testing how he reacts to a little pain medication before
possibly
he gets out there.
Yeah.
And hey, if you're gonna play Sunday, you got typically in the most coaches, if you don't practice Friday, you're not playing Sunday.
Would you if it's a throwing shoulder? Can you numb that? I mean, because I'm curious, because would that take away, like, your feel on the ball if all of a sudden you can't feel your shoulder?
I think you could block the shoulder and still have feelings with the hand.
I would think you'd be able to still feel it with your hand. I just wonder how that would feel to a quarterback if that whole shoulder area was numbed up.
And what kind of injury it might be where if you send him out there with a numbed up shoulder, is he risking further injury without even
knowing? Do we know what the injury is?
Well, that's the thing. We don't.
Is it a labrum tear?
It's a shoulder. You know, it's the NFL parlance, right? He's got a shoulder.
Well, the shoulder has like six different parts.
I understand.
In the conference call with the Jacksonville media, I don't know who asked the question, but they asked him, was it a one-play deal or was it a grind and tear deal? And he's like, I don't want to get into the details, but it happened during the last game.
During the Tennessee
game. The previous game against Tennessee. He said it happened during the game. I don't want to get into details of if it was a play or wear and tear type deals, but it happened last game.
Well, I'm guessing that it was a specific play that you would think. I mean.
Well, what's the sprain in the shoulder, the AC
joint
gets sprained, right?
Oh, we're such medical professionals.
Well, I mean,
the
next step is your collarbone cracks, right? So maybe he did land on it. I mean, that's kind of when that happens.
Yeah, who knows? He's certainly getting hit a lot this year. There's no
and it's
question
a
about
really
it.
Important 5-day stretch for the Colts. They're 1-2. They got the Jaguars coming to their building, and then they play Houston
next Thursday night.
Thursday. This is a crucial part of the season. Yep. We've talked about the Jags all week and how important this game is potentially for them to muck up this division. But for the Colts, who have been on top of it for so long, they're looking at potentially having to play this game without Andrew Luck, and then he's got to be ready to go by Thursday. I mean, this is a really important three-game stretch for them.
Yeah, but that's the thing, Tony. Maybe they are thinking that, you know what, we got the extra 4 days. Let's try to get him ready for Thursday. Can we get past this Jaguar team, scrape out a victory somehow with Hasselbeck, get the extra, basically have a week and a half to rehab the shoulder, and then have another week and a half on the back end after you play against Houston.
Yeah.
Maybe they try that route, but right now it's not trending well for Andrew Luck, trending well for the Jags. 641-1010. Let's get Buddy in here, then we'll hear from Gus Bradley immediately afterwards. Hi, Buddy. How are you?
Hey there.
What's up?
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I got the Bluetooth in. I just want to call and say hey to my buddy, Tom McManus.
What's up, buddy?
How you doing, man?
How you doing, man?
Great to hear you on the on the radio again. It's fantastic. I'm a big Jag fan, as you know, and I got the doppelganger with Gus Bradley. So every time I wear my Jag shirt at the coffee shop, they go either good game or hey, bad game. So I'm getting it on this end. So I'd like to see him do a little better.
Yeah, no doubt about it. More importantly, buddy, how's the surf going to be this weekend, man?
It's going to be incredible.
I bet.
Yeah, Hurricane Joaquin coming, and we got you out there once before. Might be a good time this time.
I don't know. I think I'll learn when it's a lake. That's better for me.
Buddy, thank you for the call. And, you know, it's fun. I don't think I look like Gus Bradley, but my hair is cut short.
Yeah.
And I got the little bit of the goatee as well. And every once in a while, I'll walk out of the building and someone will say, see you later, coach.
Really?
I swear to you. I should ask for something in that moment.
And Buddy
right?
does look a lot like Gus Bradley. His face.
Does he?
I
take your word for it. No question.
Absolutely.
Well, let's hear from Gus Bradley talking last night. This is the Gus Bradley Show with Jeff Loggeman every Thursday night right here on 1010 XL, 6 p.m. as you get ready for the next week in the National Football League. Gus, last night talking about the importance of converting third downs, but having shorter third down opportunities.
You get up into that 3rd and 7 to 10 range, you're going to see the production of the defense go up. You know, it jumps up quite a bit. So you're right. We had the drive where we had the penalty, the holding call that moved us back when we were on the 50. So, you know, those things can put yourself into third and long situations. So, you know, we got to clean those things up. I think we had, 7 penalties. So, you know, even the interception, although it was unfortunate, he's been better with decisions. One interception the last, 2 games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, there's going to be mistakes that happen. And, you know, we just got to, you know, do everything we can to limit some of the other things that we can't control. And, you know, and that's how we got to look at going in this game.
Well, clearly, as you talked about, Tom, you've got to be able to get over making a mistake and come back. And Blake has, look, he hasn't made tons upon tons of mistakes here. We're talking about a few isolated instances and that it's getting better and he's on pace, you know, to throw fewer interceptions over the course of a full season. But here's what, you know, play calling gets criticized whenever it doesn't work, regardless of what it is, right? And I know you're saying, you know, the whole run pass thing. I found them in this game going pass on first down incomplete, getting stuffed on second down, and it was almost like they knew it was coming, like, all right, we threw incomplete, we want to get the ground game going, here comes Yeldon, boom, we stop him for 2 yards or less, and that set up a lot of those third and longs.
And then what came the next series?
Same
thing?
Quite often, yeah. That I understand, I'm just saying.
You got to change that up is what I'm saying.
Granted, yeah. I mean, what do you do, I mean, if they're really stuffing you at every turn. I did think that Greg Olsen tried to throw a little bit more on first down in this game. I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but I know a lot of people think it is running into the line, and then make a heave on third down. I didn't think it was that way, but what they did wasn't effective either.
No, and listen, it's a chess match. I mean, that's why your coordinator's got to be wizards, man. They got to come up with the plays that help you succeed, and it's not always going to work, right? You go in with a 15-play script in the beginning of the game, guess what? It's not always going to work the way you have it scripted out. So you have to be able to adapt and improvise and sometimes get creative, and that's his job.
Yeah, the frustration in week one was a bunch of young guys not coming through when they had opportunities to make plays. Week two, it just felt like the offense bogged down there in the third quarter. Now, they found a way to win. You know, you found a way to beat Miami, which is a good sign for a young team. And New England, let's not even – I mean – nothing went right.
You know, there's like, you know, as far as young, look, they are young to an extent, but you got to be young and good. I mean,
doesn't change the expectation.
No.
You know, it's not saying that Allen Hurns and Allen Robinson dropping those balls is okay. It's the disappointment of guys that you're counting on to take that step forward and be productive.
Yep.
Not making those plays against Carolina is frustrating. So you hope that they make those plays consistently. And something we talked about a little bit earlier today too was specifically about Blake and responding in those moments when things go wrong, the adversity in these games. It's something Gus was asked about with Jeff Loggeman last night.
Well, he's handled himself great, and I think his work ethic is at a high, high, high level. I mean, meetings at night and going through stuff, so that part hasn't changed. His demeanor hasn't changed. I think that when you look at Blake, you'd say, you know, he's made some mistakes, but his play is at a higher, consistent level. And that's what we're seeing. So, You know, we need to get that percentage even higher. But that's with everybody on our team. But, you know, like they said, there's going to be mistakes made.
I'll say this. In terms of the work ethic thing, I've said it since the moment we've gotten to know Blake a little bit, that if he fails, it's not because of that. Trust me, it won't be because of that. In fact, what was it this week? Did Audric tweet out a picture of Blake playing like Galaga, right? And the upset, they got some video games up there.
On Tuesday.
And a couple of people were like, oh, you should be studying film. Oh, it's his day off. He's in the building, probably studying film, and he took 5 minutes to, hey, I was getting lunch, or right up there where the players eat lunch, and he played a video game for 5 minutes, you know, and, you know, trust me, on his day off, he's in there almost every Tuesday on his day off doing something, working out, studying film, getting ready. He is definitely invested.
Well, listen, when you're winning and you show him playing Galaga or whatever the heck that thing, you're like, how cool is that? He's playing a video game, right?
So
you can't win in that instance. Number two, I have really good friends here in town that know the Bortles family, and I hear they are top of the line, awesome people. The father's a no-nonsense guy. You know, and Blake's a really tough and good kid. So it doesn't surprise me that he works that hard. I mean, you have to in the NFL. Especially QB.
And we've seen what happens to guys who don't.
Right.
I mean, Johnny Manziel learned after 1 year, you can't go that route.
Can't wing it.
And there have been plenty of other guys as well. Let's get a call or two in before we wrap up with you, Tommy. Good to see you again, bro.
Likewise.
Bruce, you're up next here with Tom McManus. Go ahead. Hi, Bruce.
Hello.
What's up?
Hey, Bruce. Hey, Tom.
Hey, Bruce.
Hey, Tom, this is Bruce from The Exchange. How the hell are you?
What's up, man?
Not too much. Hey, listen, Andrew got married. You remember my little punk son? He got married 2 weeks ago.
Oh, my gosh. Do you like the wife, I hope?
Love the wife.
There you go.
Yeah. Hey, Tom, you know I'm a diehard fan, and, you know, I want to be optimistic, you know, but, you know, we're fans. We think we know everything, but in reality, we don't know a lot. You guys do. You know, particularly you. Nothing against you, Mike. You know,
that's all right. I understand. That's why we have guys like Tom come in.
Right. You know, Tom, when do we start to worry that this isn't working? I mean, it is year three.
I'm already worried. I think that I'm worried. I mean, listen, look, it's hard not to. And I'm a fan. Of course, I want them to win the freaking Super Bowl. I want them to win multiple. But at the end of the day, it's about results, and the results haven't been good. I don't care how early in the season it is. Look back. I don't care if they're young. I don't care if they're hurt. I don't give a crap out about any of that. You got to win. It's a results league. So I question it. However, we still got to let it play out. It's still got time to play. Hey, they're 1-2. They can turn it around. You never know. You get some things going, you get on a run, who knows what could happen. It's too early to panic, but it's not too early to start questioning if they've got the right people in place.
No, of course not. But as you said, look, this game, I think it's imminently winnable on Sunday.
Yeah.
You win this game.
Big game.
Tampa is imminently winnable.
Yep.
Houston coming in your backyard.
Yep.
I don't think it's crazy. I'm not predicting it. Certainly they could lose any or all of those games, but they certainly have a chance to be 4-2. They really do, and I know that sounds crazy looking at their last performance, but they're not playing the Patriots in the next 3 weeks.
Yep.
These other teams are not firing on those kind of cylinders.
Yeah, and listen, it's we'd take 4-3, wouldn't we, after 7, if that was the case?
I absolutely.
Without a doubt.
We had a couple people on both the Boston's Restaurant Sports Bar text line and tweeting saying, you know, it sounds like a lot of people don't want Luck to play. Let's play the best. I want to play the best. That's fine. I want to win the game. I'd rather beat Matt Hasselbeck than lose to Andrew Luck. I'd rather beat Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
But what gives you going into it, because you can't know the outcome ahead of time, what gives you the best chance to win? That's what I want, because I just want to win. Doesn't matter to me. They're going to count the game the same, no matter who lines up at quarterback.
You fight the guy who steps up to the microphone. I don't care who's out there. You go to win.
Right.
I want to beat Luck? Yeah, but I don't care if he's out there or not. I want to win.
Are the Patriots sad that the Julius Thomasons and Derek Marks didn't play?
Right.
I doubt it. Right? Hey, you know what?
Or Carolina for that bit.
Yeah. Easier on us.
No, you're right.
Tommy Mack, good to see you as always.
Likewise.
Man. And we'll do it more often, hopefully, at Meathead55 on the Twitter. Final thought before you get out of here. What do you think? Are the Jags going to win on Sunday?
No.
Okay.
I'm going to say no.
Even with Hasselbeck, if Hasselbeck plays.
No. Because, you can't game plan against him. So he may light it up. If you don't get pressure on him, he's going
to
light it up.
Going to have to get pressure.
He's been around forever. He's still got an arm. He still knows where to put the ball.
He went to Boston College?
You know, I didn't think he was very good at BC, to be honest with you. Honestly. But then he's grown into it.
Right.
Look, during his prime, he was a good quarterback. He wasn't a top-tier quarterback, but he was a good quarterback. So I think he's got the tools. At the end of the day, win up front. Win up front, and you'll win the game.
There you go. Final words from Tom McManus at Meathead55 on Twitter.
Let's step on their necks.
Tony. Step on their necks and crush them and let them bleed out into the turf. Tommy Mac, good to see you, brother.
Likewise.
There he goes. And we will come back and take a look at the fan feedback spotlight today, asking you for your three keys to victory for the Jacksonville Jaguars this week. And it's a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, continuing on with you, Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right, thanks again to Tom McManus for joining us in studio on this Cardinal and Cadillac Friday. Thanks to 1010XL for providing us a studio on this Friday, Tony. How about that? Went down to the stadium today. Yeah, they're working on that roof down there. It'll be fine, hopefully, by game day this Sunday. Tyler, do you enjoy having us here overseeing things? You probably hate it, I would think.
I'm okay with it for right now.
Are you okay with it, man?
For now.
I didn't realize he got here at 9:55 every day. That's unbelievable.
Mailing it in.
Wow. He calls me from his cell phone. He's always like, yeah, I'm hard at work. He's probably at home eating cereal every morning. It's unbelievable, this guy. All right. Fan feedback spotlight brought to you every day by the Tom Bush family of dealerships. And we ask you every Friday to give us your three keys to victory this week for the Jacksonville Jaguars. What you got, Tone?
Here's what we got from Jason. Number one, run right. Number two, throw it to Hearns until they stop him. And number three, let Ryan Davis loose to heck with his special team snaps. From Daniel, keys to victory. Number one, win time of possession and no turnovers. Two, defensive turnover. Three, Yeldon touchdown. Hashtag just win. From Luke, establish the run, pressure the quarterback, and get nasty. From Demetrius, make them one-dimensional. Turnover-free game, and the Leo position makes their presence felt. And from Brooks, more takeaways, more points, more Bortles.
I got these on Facebook here from Daniel Stewart, our three keys to victory. Keep luck on the sideline. And that doesn't mean
almost
injured,
checked.
Right? Yes.
Almost checked.
Right.
Or even
good
starts.
Job. The D needs a turnover. And maybe, how about this, we need to win the turnover battle. I think, as opposed to necessarily just getting one turnover, if you give up three, that's not necessarily going to work in your favor. And Yeldon needs to hit pay dirt. Matthew Ryan said, take advantage of luck by putting on the defensive PSI, spread the ball around, and don't get hurt. Don and Fuego, run block, create several turnovers, play with some urgency and abandon. Richard went with Yeldon needs 100 yards. Allen Robinson winning battles down the field and win the turnover battle as well. Josh Wiggins said, do something we've rarely done in the Gus Bradley era, perform in the second half of the game. Oh, my. And he tagged it with a hashtag, fire Dave and Gus.
Jeez.
Oh, dear. Hey, look, your fans, I get the sentiment. How many times can we say it? You know, Gus Bradley became the first coach in the Super Bowl era to get a third year in coaching after only winning seven or fewer games in his previous two. And, you know, 3-13 is not going to cut it. I don't think they're going to go 3-13, Tony. But this is a great stretch of opportunity for this football team. I'm not going to pretend that what I saw last Sunday didn't happen, but that's a well-oiled machine right now. The Colts are not that. And, look, I understand Tom's point. Matt Hasselbeck back is a vet, and we've seen him do it against the Jags in the past, right? So it's not like this guy has forgotten how to throw the football. It's not like he doesn't have T.Y. Hilton and Dante Moncrief. Forget Andre Johnson. Although, put it this way, Andre Johnson better not be a factor, as slow as he has looked in the first few weeks of the season, right? They better not let Kobe Fellino run wild on this football
team. Look, Andre Johnson has a history against the Jags, obviously, of dominating this football team. It can't happen this Sunday.
He's a history of dominating everybody, though, for the most part.
Especially
I hear you.
Jags.
I hear you.
And his history against the Jags is crazy. Some of the numbers he's put up. Look, I said it all week, and I think the potential news with Andrew Luck and him not being able to play in this game and it maybe being Matt Hasselbeck starting for the Indianapolis Colts, I've mentioned it from time to time this week that I think this is the most important game of the Bradley Caldwell era.
I agree with you.
Here in Jacksonville. With what has happened through the first 3 weeks of this year, with the expectations that fans had of this team being that much better here in 2015 than they have been in 13 and 14 of winning, you know, somewhere between 6 and 8 games, I don't see where you see 6 or 8 wins if they can't find a way to beat Matt Hasselbeck on the road. You know, if they can't win that game,
right?
If they can't win at Tampa, then you show me where there's 6 wins on the schedule for this Jaguars team. I know a lot of fans out there are going to say, I don't expect the Jaguars to win any games until I see improvement. No. If Matt Hasselbeck is leading that Colts roster onto the field on Sunday, your expectation in Jacksonville should be to win that football
game. And that is my expectation.
Right.
That they should and will win the football
game. If it's not luck, they should win.
They need to fulfill that expectation. I'm sure that's their expectation as well, but you're right. They have to beat the beatable teams, the teams that they feel like they're somewhat on par with. And without Andrew Luck, why are you not on par with the Indianapolis Colts? What puts them so much above you? Again, a few positions, I'm sure they've got the advantage. I would think the Jags have the advantage at some positions. Neither one of them is the top of the NFL roster. The thing that has separated them over the last 3 years has been Andrew Luck and his play, particularly in the fourth quarter. That team's, why does he have so many fourth quarter comebacks, Tony? Because the team gets behind a lot. They're not a perfect team, but they found a way to do it. And I do think his strength in the pocket is the big thing that he's got over Hasselbeck. And for the Jags to win this game, they're going to have to take advantage of the Colts' offensive line, which has not been very good at all. Whether it's Andre Branch coming back, whether it's the guys that they already have in there just contributing more, maybe it is more snaps for Ryan Davis. They need to get heat, and when they get heat, they need to deliver hits on the quarterback, and Hasselbeck is not any longer built to withstand that anywhere near where Luck is. And Luck will take the hit, he'll bounce off, and then he'll spin out of the pocket, and he'll run to the outside, and he'll beat you with his feet. Sure. Hasselbeck's not going to give you that element.
No, look, pro sports isn't about being fair. And it's not about being fair as a fan either. Whatever your expectations were for this team before the season started, look, what happened in the first 3 weeks, I don't think has to change your expectation. And going into week four with the opportunity it looks like they may have without Andrew Luck up there for the Colts, this is when you fulfill your expectations. You know, it's not about, well, they didn't look good in the first 3 weeks, so I'm going to change. No. If you had expectations for the Jags in 2015, this is the kind of game, this is the kind of opportunity where they have to start fulfilling those expectations that they have for themselves in 2015. And if they can't, then serious questions are going to be asked about whether or not the direction they went 3 years ago, tearing it down as much as they did, was the right direction. That's why these next 3 games are so crucially important for those guys, for this build, for those answers. Was it the right way to do it? The evidence right now is no.
Correct.
And they have an opportunity to change that answer with how they perform over the course of the next month.
I understand what Ryan O'Halloran's point was yesterday when he said this game is more critical for the Colts because they can fall to 1-3 at home and lose a home division game. I get that. But if you felt like these teams were evenly matched when they're both full strength, then you'd say, okay, the Jags can come back and they'll, you know, defend home turf when it comes down later in the year. I don't know what it's going to look like. First of all, we don't know if they're going to be anywhere close to full strength, but I think with Andrew Luck, he does give you that edge if you're the Indianapolis Colts.
Sure.
That's why everyone picks him to win the division. So I think this game is critical for the Jags. I think it's equally critical to them, certainly, than it is to the Colts. The Colts know that they've been there and they've done that and they've fallen into a hole before and they've come back. They won 11 of their last 14 ball games this year. If they get Andrew Luck healthy, they can maybe not win that many, but it's not going to take 11 or 12 wins to win the division this year. Go up to Indianapolis at this point. You're either going to get a very beat-up starting quarterback who hasn't practiced all week, or you're going to get the backup. Go win this football game, period. End of story. All right, that's going to do it for us today. Thanks for all the feedback today. Love having Tommy Mack in. He brings a lot of folks out of the woodwork. I love to hear his perspective, so we appreciate him stopping in and doing that with us on this Friday at Meathead 55. And for Tommy as well, Tommy's doing a lot of work buying, selling, building apartments with the Klotz Group of companies. If you are interested in a new apartment, maybe you're interested in upgrading the current one you're in right now, T. McManus, TMC, M-A-N-U-S, T. McManus at the KlotzCompanies.com. Klotz, K-L-O-T-Z. And if you don't remember that, hit me up on Twitter and I'll send it to you a little bit later on. T. McManus at the KlotzCompanies.com. We appreciate Tom stopping by. We appreciate Claude Nolan Cadillac serving as the preferred Cadillac dealer in Northeast Florida since 1905, the largest selection of new and pre-owned Cadillacs in Jacksonville, and the Claude Nolan Edge, which guarantees you absolutely no dealer fees. Saves tons of money. The elegance and experience of driving a Cadillac one step away. You can build your lasting relationship by logging on to ClaudeNolan.com or better yet, stopping by at 4700 Southside Boulevard. You're going to love the folks over there. Tell them Mike Dempsey sent you. They're going to take great care of you. Call 642-5111 for more information on Claude Nolan Cadillac, our Friday sponsor on Jaguars Today. Tony, I will see you on Sunday for the pregame.
Yeah.
And we've got hopefully a victory for the Jags, and we'll talk about it on the postgame, myself and J.P. Shadrick, with all of you out there, Fred Taylor as well. So for all of us here on Jaguars Today, for Tom McManus, for Tyler Devitt, even for Joe Fortunato, he's lonely without us today down at Everbank. For Fat Tony, I'm Mike Dempsey. We've got XL Primetime live at the Web.com Tour Championship coming up next on 1010XL 92.5 FM.